Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, sitting in front of me, it's an often used, overused word, legend, but I do have legends in front of me. One from Hollywood and one from the world of songwriting, all the way from Cong and Mayo. You'll all know You Raise Me Up, which since it was first released in 2002, has become one of the most recorded songs ever. It's been sung in more than 40 languages by more than 1,000 artists. Well, Brendan Graham, of course, wrote the lyrics to that song, and he's written a brand new song just in time for Christmas, and all of the royalties are going to Barnardo's charity. The song features Paul Harrington and the great actor Patrick Bergen. And Patrick and Brendan are both here. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Now listen, we're going to start off with the song, which is called Switzer's Window. Tell me about it. Who's going to take it up first? Tell me about it.
Okay, well, there was a little boy in Ireland once, long ago, in the middle of the country, but his dad was a dub, and every 8th of December, yesterday, that dad would bring the little boy to Dublin to see the lights and to see this magical window in Grafton Street, Switzer's Window, which ran from Grafton Street right around into Wicklow Street, and it had Santa Claus and elves and teddy bears and just wonder. And you'd stand three deep in a line, the line would move along, then you'd get up. So anyway, that little boy grew up and he went to London and then he went to live in Australia. But he never forgot Switzer's Window, because it wasn't just the window. It was Dublin, it was Ireland, it was home. So the little boy came back from Australia, and by then he had five little girls. And he used to bring the five little girls to Switzer's Window. And then the five little girls grew up, and then they used to want to bring their children there, but Switzer's Window was gone. So the little boy at the start of the story decided to bring it back in a song. That's how it came about.
And that little boy is Brendan Graham.
That little boy is a granddaddy little boy. And yesterday, the 8th, I was in town with my children and grandchildren. We've kept the tradition up that my dad started.
Which is wonderful. And to be fair, it's important to say that Brian Thomas have supported you in this as well, haven't they?
Brown.
100%.
Yeah, which is great, Patrick. So tell us about the song. How did you get involved, Patrick?
Well, I was a little boy once.
We're all little boys.
You're looking great, the pair of you.
I was born in Hollis Street, but I was raised for a while in Aylesford Terrace underneath the Labour Party offices. And my dad being... And he used to take me down Grafton Street across the green there. And we'd wander down and Grafton Street past, dare I say, Woolworths.
Yeah.
And where we'd get the soft ice cream. And there used to be the Grafton Cinema, where there were often cartoons on. And we'd go down to Switzer's Window, and it was just magic. So when Brendan offered me the song to sing, I was absolutely delighted and responded instantly to it. If you're about to play it, I hope.
Now, so tell me about it.
And, well, all I will say is that if whatever you're doing, listeners, please stop it just for the next 5 minutes and give yourself a treat and go back to Switzer's Window.
Let's listen to it now.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
That's beautiful. Brendan Graham and Patrick Bergen sitting in front of me. You love it, both of you. I can see that, don't you, Brendan?
It's a bit different. It's not a normal song in the sense that, you know, it's sung. So it's more like a little Christmas story with music. And of course, Patrick has just this phenomenal voice that draws you in. And the brilliant John Sheehan. Everybody was so generous. When I approached Patrick straight away, and I'd worked with Barnardo's before, he said, absolutely. John Sheehan, absolutely. Paul Harrington, Neil Martin on cello, and the wonderful choir from the Kilmore School of Music. Everybody said yes. And then we went to Brown Thomas. And I have to say, from the first day we went in, they embraced the whole notion of the connection to the past. They sponsored the record. They are selling it in all their stores for €5. Every single penny of that €5 is going to Barnardo's, as is all our royalties, and everybody was so generous. So,
Wonderful. I'll just bring you some of our listeners' reactions. Switzer's Wind, Miriam, that's pure magic, so nostalgic. Bernie then goes on to say, Miriam, that song is so poignant, it brought a tear to my eye in nostalgia and magic. Anne Costlew says, beautiful song. Don't forget to mention the children from Kylemore College Music. You just mentioned just them, did. Brendan. And Lisa McGuinness, their MD. They worked really hard. The atmosphere was beautiful on Grafton Street last Thursday for the launch. I'll bring in two more. Sue in Cork says, such a beautiful song, Miriam, reminds me of my Dublin childhood. And Switzer's Window, great singing by Patrick. Another, Ina in Mullingar says, I love Brendan Graham and his music. I love that song. So full of nostalgia. I remember Brendan in Mullingar many moons ago. I love Patrick's voice. And I'll just bring you one more so we get to chat. Denise says, hi, I'm in the same vintage as the lads. I too have lovely memories of Switzer's Window. Dying to see what the theme was every year. Brilliant song. Cheers. So that's nice, that's to get reaction, just straight on live radio.
Absolutely. So your task is to go and visit Switzer's Window today or tomorrow, which is now Brown Thomas, and go in there and buy it.
Yeah, and they will. And as you say, it's all going to Bernardus. Brendan, you've written so many great songs. I've interviewed you before for people like, obviously, You Raise Me Up, Rock and Roll Kids, The Voice, Crook in the Porsche. As soon as you write them, do you let them go? And do you care more about some songs? Like, I can see you and I know you really care about this song. But do you care about them all, or some of them errant children or whatever?
They're all babies. You know, they're all babies. And you do have to cut the umbilical cord at some stage. But early on, I suppose I was more protective and possessive. Now I'm really happy if somebody says, you know, I love Patrick Bergen's new song. I'm happy, or if Josh Groban or Westlife, because once you write the song, it's not finished until it's heard. And you need, I can't sing and I can't play. So it needs people like Patrick and John Sheehan and all of these other very talented people to help the song to fly. And then what you want is for people to make it their own. If I can just tell a little story. I was walking once into the Shelburne to meet, I think it was Ronan Tynan, the tenor who sang at President Bush's funeral last week. And as I was walking in, there was a party. There was obviously a big dinner and a huge amount of people walking in. And this lady just broke away from the party and she walked alongside me for about maybe five steps. She didn't say who she was, where she was coming. And she just, it was the time of Rock and Roll Kids. And she just said to me, you must have known what was in my head when you wrote that song. And that was probably one of the greatest compliments, forgetting charts and everything else, that I ever got. That somehow something in solitude I had written had connected with another human being. And she went off, never saw her again, didn't know who she was or anything.
But it's so interesting when you said a minute ago, you know, you don't play, you don't sing. Where did your musical ability come from then? Remind people, and how did you get into songwriting?
Where did my musical ability come from? I suppose I was always interested. I remember we lived in Castle Island in Kerry.
Great place.
And there was one jukebox in the town, in a chipper. And you'd go down and you'd have to wipe the grease away to see, you know, the singles inside. And I was always really interested on, I'd be looking at who wrote that song. So, for example, I can tell you that Cliff Richard's Livin' Doll was written by Lionel Bart. And I'd be looking at that and then I'd look at the B-sides. And I don't know why. I was always interested in who is the person behind the song, not the person who's going out there with it. So I always had that kind of interest. And then, like, when I was 16, it was the time of Elvis and the Beatles. I got a guitar and I had very curly hair, but I tried to sweep it back and grease it back into a DA. You know what a DA is, do you?
What is a DA?
It's a duck's ass, which was,
okay.
it was all in the shape of the back of it.
Sounds beautiful.
So, you know, we got into that. So there was a bit of music. And then, as you know, the story, I was an industrial engineer and I was made.
Remind people, because not everyone does know your story.
Okay, well, I went into industry to earn a living. I was an industrial engineer and in my late 40s and had been writing songs and loving it, but at night and at the weekend. And then I was made redundant. And I thought, okay, the whole question of going into writing songs or not. And I thought, well, it's up to me now, you know, do it, put up or shut up. So I began to write full time in 1993, and then fortunately 1994 Rock and Roll Kids came up, and then Emer with The Voice in 1996. So it was random, and It taught me a lesson sometimes to be thankful for what's taken away as much as for what's given.
That's so interesting. Because you think if you hadn't been made redundant, you just might not have gone full time.
It wouldn't have happened. The songs wouldn't happen. I wouldn't be sitting here with you today and with Patrick, and we wouldn't be telling people to go into Brown Thomas and hand over Fiverr for Bernardo's.
That actually could be quite reassuring for even one person listening today, Graham, who perhaps is at a difficult moment in their own lives. Like, you didn't start that new career until your late 40s.
Yeah. Very late 40s, yeah. So I do say it to people who are thinking about things, you know, well, I'm a very late convert, and then I didn't write my first book till I was 53. So everybody out there, you've got loads of time.
Get up. Get up. Go and buy the record and then write a book and sing a song.
Exactly, Patrick.
And just for people to know, tell me about your background, Patrick. Tell us, remind people of your father, because he was very active, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a wonderful man. He was he became a Labour senator. He was a Labour organiser, and he started off in Carlow and led a very big strike down there at the sugar factory. He made a senator, came up to Dublin. I was born on Hollis Street and raised for a couple of years in Carlow. But then we moved up and lived underneath the Labour Party offices in Earlswood Terrace. The most important thing, I think, that for my dad, to keep it simple, is he said there were three things, in those days you were able to say it, three things a man needs.
Okay.
A roof over his head, food on the table, and a flower in a vase.
Wonderful.
That's really wonderful.
And the flower in the vase is your spiritual creative life, in a way.
Yeah.
And so he kept it very simple, and he was just a wonderful guy. He was just a joy to be around. He was great crack.
And all the acting, where did that come from in your family?
Well, in the process of his work, he was organising farm workers in and around Carlow, especially around the time of the strike, because they used to pluck the sugar beet.
Mm.
And it began with the clap of the two sugar beets going together. And he, with respect to all those wonderful men, some of them could barely walk and talk at the same time. So my dad set up a theatre, the Little Theatre in Carlow, which still is going, in order to get his men confident and able to speak and talk. And there's a wonderful story of how during the strike, what had happened was when the sugar, it was the first industry to come into Ireland after the war. And Carlow was one at Mallow and various other places, but in Carlow. And they said that he'd never get away with it. But he kept the men together. And Major General Costello had struck a deal because they didn't know how to make the sugar. So in those days, they had to import European labour from Czechoslovakia to teach them how to do it. But they made a deal that when they could do the same work, they would get paid the same wage. Major General Costello, when that moment arrived, reneged on his deal. And my dad called the strike and stopped the sugar beet being plucked in the fields. It was serious. And they called my dad a communist and they put him in jail for 5 years. He said, well, you won't have sugar for 5 years. So eventually he said they'd negotiate. But they didn't want to negotiate with Paddy. And he said, no, you'll negotiate with me. So he and his cronies went up to Leinster House. And before they went in for the meeting, they were having tea and sandwiches. And they had saccharin even in those days. And my dad said, can we have some sugar, please? And the waitress said, there is no sugar. So, well, why is that? Don't you know there's a strike on down in Carlow? And my dad says, oh, them hooligans, so to speak. And the waitress says, don't you dare say a word against those men. And my dad knew he was on a winner.
So interesting.
No.
Yeah, and he did. And he was carried head and shoulders into the town afterwards. But I think part of the price was he lost his job. And he went off to Port Arlington. He used to cycle down to Port Arlington, the power station. And his life, you know, started. I came on a little bit later, you know. And it was, sorry.
Did he know how successful his children went on to be, your dad?
Well, he did sit beside me on the Dublin premiere of Sleeping with the Enemy.
And what did he think of his song well, in Sleeping with the Enemy?
When the name came up on the screen, he said, "That's me." Because we have the same name, Patrick Bergen.
He must have been proud, was he?
He was. He was very proud of it. And of Emmett as well, of course, and
of
all
course,
his children.
Yeah.
And there was a wonderful... He read books. He had you know, it was not an intellectual so much. Well, I suppose it is a fair word to use. He would certainly discuss the subjects of the day and the important issues in life. And he believed he was the Father, Son, and the other fellow he used to call the Holy Spirit. He studied at the Holy Ghost Fathers as well. There was a moment when he might have become a priest himself. So he had a wide horizon of ideas and opinions, and but he was very focused also, and he did eventually work as a fitter in the Ivy Hostel, keeping the poor people warm, and he had his own office there in a way, and people would come in and ask him his advice because he was still connected in with the Leinster House. And in fact, I know what Brendan was saying there, but I have a song out at the moment as well called The Tipperary Waltz, which was I wrote, and Simon Casey's singing it. And it's lovely to have somebody else sing your words. And it was a great thing for him. He met Dan Breen, who also became a senator. And I'd like to say this because a lot of people said that Dan Breen had no conscience. And my father met him on the steps of Leinster House and said, asked Dan, he said, "What was it like to have killed a man?" And then it gave me my second verse of the song, because Dan replied, "The ghosts of those men haunt me every night." It did affect him.
Of course, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's wonderful that one can have, I incorporated that into the song. But as Brendan was saying, it is a wonderful thing for other people to... And if you can have an effect, and I think music in general and songs like Switzer's Window can affect people in a spiritual way.
Yeah, and actually from our audience, lots of reaction to your song, both you. Miriam, such magic, I'm crying here with memories about Switzer's, thank you. Hugh in Stillorgan says, "Dear Miriam, that's the best song ever. Congrats to Brendan and Patrick and all who put it together. Well done to all, memories are made of this." Niamh says, "My mom, Claire, was one of the creative team who made the magic of the Switzers and Brian Thomas Windows. Happens every year. So lovely to hear the song and with such a great cause. Happy Christmas." Anna Knockline says, "Hearing that beautiful song brings back so many memories, and I now don't care if I do not hear another festive song this year. I've too many messages. I can't read them all, actually." One more, actually. Sean O'Hargan Kilkenny says, "Miriam, the Labour Party in Carlow Kilkenny are very proud of former Labour Senator Paddy Bergen, and of course his wonderful family." So that's nice. We're going to listen to a song, actually. We're staying with us. Since you mentioned earlier, you're talking about the power of music. You mentioned the woman going up to you telling you how much Rock and Roll Kids meant to her. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a little blast now of Rock and Roll Kids, written by you, Brendan Graham.
Okay. Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Well, I'm here this morning with one of our greatest songwriters, Brendan Graham, and one of our greatest actors, Patrick Bergen, who have collaborated together all for Barnardo's with the help of lots of people, including Brian Thomas, Neil Martin, John Sheehan, Paul Harrington and the Calmore Choir with Lisa McGuinness, and all the proceeds, they say, going to Barnardo's. You were also saying to me, Brendan, there during the break, that if they go onto iTunes and YouTube, tell me about them.
Yeah, we made a video, which is a beautiful video. It captures some of the recordings in the studio, and it also captures Patrick on Grafton Street with snow and remembering Switzer's Window. So that video is up on YouTube. And if your listeners would like to go and have a look at it there, there's also a link to iTunes where they can also purchase the song. And again, all the iTunes royalties are going to Barnardo's.
Fantastic. And I haven't time to read all these messages, but lots of people saying it brought back so much nostalgia. And one more about you, Brendan, as well, saying thanks for your input into their Forgotten Mayo Famine Girls Remembrance in Ballina in October. That's from Terry Riley and all the team.
Yeah, that was a song I wrote about the orphan girls who went to Australia under the Earl Grey scheme back in the mid-1800s to help populate the colony. So they've erected a beautiful statue in Ballina, and we were down there to help them launch it. And the local choir under the direction of Regina DC sang the song, and it was just a wonderful day.
Fantastic. And Patrick Bergen, you love singing. I think you love singing more than acting. And you've got a concert, haven't you, in the National Concert Hall on January the 4th. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, January the 4th, a show called Arish. And lots of wonderful people performing, including me. And I'll be singing the song Anthem, written by Leonard Cohen, which I sang for the Pope at Croke Park.
Yeah, that was a beautiful song. That was must have been a great occasion.
It was an absolutely magic occasion, yeah.
That's how we got connected. It was through that, because I had been waiting, as I said to Patrick, while Julia Roberts might have wanted him out of her life and the baddies in EastEnders might have wanted him, I've been waiting all my life for him to come along to be the right person to sing this song. And it was Tommy Swarbrick, who promoted my concert last year, said to me, I had sung it there with John Sheen, he said, why don't you get a singer to sing it? And I said, all right, Tommy, who? And he said, have a listen to Patrick Bergen. And I didn't know Patrick sang, so I did listen to Anthem at Croke Park, and straight away I said to Tommy, how can I get in touch with him? So it's the circularities of life. Everything
absolutely
is connected.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.